WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Local governments around Wisconsin will see a transformation when it comes to money they receive from the state. Governor Tony Evers signed bipartisan legislation in Wausau yesterday that will overhaul the state's shared revenue formula in a deal that was struck with legislative Republican leaders. The roughly $1 billion in aid will be dispersed to communities through a larger share of Wisconsin's state sales tax. There has been an extension of the deal struck to continue to keep roads open for non-tribal members in northern Wisconsin, at least for another month. Stuart J. Waddles with more.
Lac des Flambeaux reservation officials and town officials agreed in March to remove the barricades preventing non-tribal members from accessing roads. The tribe claims that are on property no longer protected by easement agreements. That deal to remove the barricades was set to expire in the middle of this month, but has been extended to the middle of July, while both parties continue negotiations. According to officials familiar with the agreement, the town is paying the Lac des Flambeaux tribe roughly $20,000 a month to keep the roads open until a permanent solution is agreed upon. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
The economy is improving, but thousands of people are still losing their jobs in Wisconsin this year. Terry Bell reports.
Close to 26 Wisconsin companies have filed layoff notices with the state since January, throwing more than 3,000 people out of work. The Journal Sentinel reports the biggest layoffs this year so far happened at Marshfield Health, which cut 480 jobs, blaming rising labor costs, inflation, and lower reimbursements. Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee cut about as many jobs when it closed its doors last month. And Eau Claire's Hutchinson Technology is trimming its ranks of workers this year by 287. State law requires employers to notify the state when they downsize. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin child care workers are making another push to restore $340 million to the state budget to invest in their industry. Sarah Rosso helps run a child care center in Madison. She says child care counts money helped keep her center from raising rates on families in the community.
This year's going to be different if we are not funded. The reality is it costs over $19,000 a year for our care for our young ones. And raising our rates 10% this year is going to be an impossible task for some families.
The Republican-led budget writing Joint Finance Committee removed the money last week and replaced it with a $15 million loan program. Industry advocates say about a quarter of child care providers in Wisconsin will close without child care counts. Others would have to raise tuition to prevent from shutting down. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News. Time is 8:03.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Wildfire danger remains high for northwestern and southwestern Wisconsin today. The DNR said that this year's fire season is outpacing last year so far, thanks in part to the ongoing drought.
This is kind of a historic drought for us. We've had some other years where we've had some dry weather in June, but usually June is one of our slowest months of the year. And as everybody knows, it's been a really dry June, so we continue to have fires every day.
That's Ron Schneider of the DNR. The DNR said Tuesday that air quality will also be a concern due to ozone production. They issued an air quality advisory yesterday for all of western Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says conditions will stay hot and dry for at least a few more days. A lacrosse jury couldn't reach a verdict in the triple homicide trial of Nia Thal. Judge Elliot Levine declared a mistrial after the 12-person jury deadlocked. The trial lasted 7 days. Thal is one of two men accused of shooting and killing three people in July 2021 east of Holman. The La Crosse County DA said they'll try the case again. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers with another comeback win. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After losing Monday night, the Brewers found themselves down 4-0 at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But then a double by the Brewers' William Contreras, followed by a home run, finally, for Jesse Winker. Jeff Levering, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
And Winker to center. Deep, it is gone! Boy, I bet that felt good for Jesse Winker.
Well, it had that sound, didn't he?
It's Winker's first home run of the season. The Brewers scored four more in the seventh and went on to win 7-5 over the Diamondbacks. Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, Jesse's had a tough go of it so far, and everybody's rooting for that guy.
Winker had been crushing the ball in batting practice this week, one hitting the scoreboard in center field, and just as I tweeted that story out, he hit the home run.
I tweeted out today.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I mean, keep tweeting that. I'm going to be honest with you. I wake up every day thinking I'm going to hit a homer, but they just haven't been happening. I felt like the ball was coming off my bat hot in batting practice the past couple days, which is doesn't mean anything, but at least you feel cool about it. But yeah, it's a weird game.
Diamondbacks manager Torrey Lovello on blowing a 4-run lead.
It just goes to show you, you can't take anything for granted. You got to complete plays, you got to make pitches, you got to finish at bats, tack on runs. We didn't do a lot of things right today. The seventh inning obviously is the one that everybody's thinking about, but there's more to this game that I felt like we could have done better.
So the two teams go for the series win 1-10 this afternoon at American Family Field. The Reds remain in first place in the NL Central. They won their 10th in a row with an 8-6 win over the Rockies. The NBA draft is tomorrow night. Milwaukee with just the final pick in the second round. Can the Bucks win another title with a first-time head coach in Adrian Griffin, John Horst?
The answer is to not talk about it. So I think day-to-day to put in the work to focus on getting better every day. And again, there's a ton of belief organizationally that Adrian's a guy to lead us in doing that.
That's Bucks GM John Horst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Stu Daniels Show on this summer solstice. Yes, it is the first day of summer, the longest day of the year. And we'll be celebrating that with some music today. And outside is going to feel like summer today, mostly sunny throughout western Wisconsin with highs in the upper 80s. Some places reaching 90 degrees today. And in sports, the Brewers had their biggest comeback of the season so far last night with a 7-5 win over the Diamondbacks. The Crew are still a half game out of first place since the Reds won their 10th game in a row last night. And the Brewers wrap up their three-game series with the Diamondbacks this afternoon. And on this day, quite a few birthdays in the rock and roll world. In 1951, Nils Lofgren was born. Nils Lofgren, part of the E Street Band these days. I guess he has been for a few decades now. But he had his own career before he joined the E Street Band and still does some stuff on his own these days. He was also a big part of Neil Young's band occasionally throughout the decades. Born on this date in 1950, drummer for Aerosmith, Joey Kramer. Badfinger's Joey Molland, born on this date in 1947. And Ray Davies of the Kinks, born on this date in 1944. 1932, O.C. Smith was born. You remember him from Little Green Apples? That was the big hit he had. What, about 1970 or so, give or take a couple of years? But anyway, let's look at some of the headlines going on today. Lots of stuff in the news. The Republican plan to defund UW diversity offices may lead to campus closures and increased tuition rates. The Wisconsin Supreme Court said the scent of marijuana is enough to justify a police search. And tribal officials from the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation in northern Wisconsin have agreed to keep four roads open for non-tribal members for at least another month. So getting to that first story, this is a headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel posted just a couple hours ago. The question is, could Republican plan to defund UW diversity offices lead to campus closures? Here's what we know, posted by Kelly Meyerhofer, a journalist from the Journal Sentinel. She says the University of Wisconsin's systems top leader warned there may be more campus closures and increased tuition rates if the legislature
moves forward with proposed budget cuts. Funding for the public university system has become a sticking point between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the Republican-controlled legislature, threatening to paralyze the entire budget process. The top Republican lawmaker has focused the fight on campus diversity offices, which he believes teach students to focus too much on race. Here's what the budget negotiation, or here's where the budget negotiations stand. The UW system asked for an additional $435 million over the next 2 years to cover inflationary increases for goods and services, provide salary increases to employees, and launch a full tuition scholarship program for low-income students. Democratic Governor Tony Evers proposed a $305 million increase. Okay, so the system, the UW system, asked for $435 million. Governor Evers, who, as we all know, supports education, proposed a $305 million increase, probably knowing that he'd be lucky to get anything close to that from the Republicans. And then the story goes on and says Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, wants a $32 million cut, which he said is roughly the amount spent to fund diversity, equity, and inclusion offices over 2 years. Yeah, who wants diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? So the system, the UW system, asked for $435. Governor Evers said, well, we might be able to get you $305 million. And Robin Voss says, nope, we're not going to get you $435 million. We're not going to get you $305 million. Instead, we're going to propose a $32 million cut. Voss sees diversity programming as, quote, the single most important issue, end quote, facing the nation. That's right. Of all the issues the United States has to deal with right now, I could list them off, right? Healthcare, gun safety, environmental issues like climate change. But none of that's important, or at least not as important as the single most important issue, diversity programming. That's right. Your kids in college might learn about diversity and equity. That's the single most important issue, according to Robin Voss. UW System President Jay Rothman testified to the Senate Committee on Universities and Revenue on Monday that there are some issues with DEI on campuses. He has, for example, ended the system's practice of requiring job applicants to sign a statement committing to DEI. But he has also said the offices play an important role in helping a variety of students feel a sense of belonging on campus, right? Don't we want our college campuses to be diverse? This story goes on with a quote that says, are we really going to look at and say we don't want women in STEM programs? He asked lawmakers. Are we really going to say that we don't want a veterans program to allow our veterans to transition from a regimented military regime to a much more flexible regime, which is a bigger challenge than I understood it to be until I talked to them? Are we really not going to have programming to assist our first generation students who have more courage than I could possibly imagine to take that plunge? Those are all issues that D, E, and I cover. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's the end of the quote. The story goes on and says that Senator Steve Nass, Republican from Whitewater, and frequent UW critic, said some of Rothman's examples, quote, are cover for what else is going on. There's always something else going on, right? Something that you're not aware of, something behind the scenes. There's something behind the scenes going on. That is the mantra of the conspiracy theorists these days. Even if Republicans write in language specifying the cuts go toward DEI, Evers could use his line item veto pen to strike the reference, allowing UW campuses to absorb the cut however they see fit. The nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau said Evers could not, however, reduce the size of the overall cut. Rothman has discussed campus closures even before the budget battle heated up last week. In a call with reporters last month, he called closures a, quote, last resort, end quote, but also a possibility if expenses continue to exceed revenues, which is the case for 10 of the 13 universities. The UW system is projected to be $60 million in the red a year from now. Rothman said budget cuts would threaten UW's commitment to provide an affordable education and to be accessible across all of Wisconsin. Quote, "It's just that simple," Rothman said. "We do not have the resources to do what we have done before." One campus, UW-Platteville-Richland, already ended in-person degree programs after this spring semester and will shift to operating mostly online. Chancellors are auditing the dozens of other branch campuses, many of which, or I should say the dozen other branch campuses, many of which are also struggling with low enrollment to determine long-term viability. Nass questioned during the hearing if the UW system needs all of its campuses given enrollment trends. "It seems to me like Republicans just don't like education, whether it's college or K through 12 or even pre-K. They want to defund money for all education. That's what it seems like. Tell me if I'm wrong." Phone number is 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to Civic Media.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
So stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 50 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Find small business calm at ooma.com/radio. That's OOMA.com/radio.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now,
and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup.
That's awesome!
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ancrud. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs around 89 today under mainly sunny skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows around 65. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow, highs around 89. Temperatures a bit above average Friday and Saturday with highs from the mid 80s to the upper 80s. Storms possible both days. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 70.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ancrud. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot you right down. At all your feet, take you home with me, put you in my house. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love to see you walk up and down the floor when you're talking to me. That baby talk, I like it like that. When you talk like that, you knock me dead. Bet on my feet. How, 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 how.
How, 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 yes. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock now on this first day of summer with music from John Lee Hooker. Passed away on this date in 2001 at the age of 83. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far. And there was a ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court yesterday that you should know about. This headline from the Associated Press says, a scent like marijuana is enough to warrant a police search. Wisconsin Supreme Court rules. Dateline Madison, a car smelling like marijuana is enough for police in Wisconsin to justify searching a person in the vehicle, even though substances legal in the state can smell the same, the state Supreme Court said on Tuesday. The court's conservative majority ruled 4-3 that Marshfield police had grounds to search the driver of a vehicle that smelled like marijuana, overturning lower court rulings that said officers couldn't be sure that what they smelled was not CBD, a legal marijuana-derived substance. The scents of CBD and marijuana are indistinguishable. Two officers searched Quaheem Moore in 2019, who was alone in a vehicle that smelled like marijuana when he was pulled over for speeding. Moore told police that a vaping device he had contained CBD and that the car was a rental belonging to his brother. Police did not smell marijuana on Moore. Moore argued in court that police had no reason to believe he was responsible for the smell. And by the way, before I go on, I should mention, and we should all acknowledge the fact that about half of the states now, I think it's up to 26, have legal marijuana for recreational use. And the number of states that have marijuana for medical use is up to 30-something now. I can't remember if it's 36 or 38, but in most states, this isn't even an issue. But in Wisconsin, it still is. I'll get back to this story now. It says, to justify searching someone, police need enough evidence to believe that person has likely committed a crime. When they obtain more evidence through an illegal search, it's not allowed to be used in court. Moore was never charged with possessing marijuana, but officers charged him with possessing narcotics when they discovered small bags of cocaine and fentanyl in his pocket during their search. A circuit court judge and an appeals court had previously moved to disqualify the drugs that police found, saying the search wasn't legal. Justice Brian Hagedorn, who issued Tuesday's opinion, that's yesterday's opinion, on behalf of the court's conservative majority, wrote that because Moore was the only person in the car, police could reasonably assume he, quote, was probably connected with the illegal substance the officers identified, end quote. Tuesday's ruling referenced a 1999 Supreme Court decision that said officers were justified in arresting a driver because they linked the smell of marijuana from his vehicle to him. That opinion said that the unmistakable smell of a controlled substance was evidence that a crime had been committed. Yeah, somebody smoked some marijuana. Story goes on and says, but the court's three liberal justices called that ruling into question, saying it was outdated and did not account for the subsequent legalization of substances that smell like marijuana. They also said officers did not have strong evidence that Moore had caused the odor in the car he was driving. Quote, officers who believe they smell marijuana coming from a vehicle may just as likely be smelling raw or smoked hemp, which is not criminal activity. End quote. Justice Rebecca Frank Dallet wrote in a dissenting opinion, Moore's attorney, Joshua Hargrove, warned that the ruling could allow police to base searches on unreliable conclusions and never be held accountable in court. Quote, this opinion could subject more citizens engaged in lawful behavior to arrest, he said. Seems like we are losing more and more of our rights as the days go by. And it's not Democrats taking the rights away. You're tuned in to Civic Media.
Sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Live this life of luxury, blazing on a sunny afternoon. In the summertime, in the summertime, in the summertime.
My girlfriend's run up with my car. I'm gone back.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 1215, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. Noises heard by a Canadian surveillance plane flying over the area of the North Atlantic where that submersible went down on Sunday. The five on board haven't been heard from since. ABC's Gio Benitez in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
The timing is now absolutely critical, and ABC News confirmed that those noises were described as banging noises heard yesterday morning on sonar, but so far they haven't found anything.
There's enough oxygen on board to last until sometime tomorrow. Tropical storm Brett is growing stronger as it moves towards islands in the eastern Caribbean that are bracing for the possibility of heavy rain and floods. Across much of Texas, they're bracing for another scorcher. The temperatures in triple digits. The operators of the Texas power grid are asking businesses and homeowners to please curtail electricity use to prevent a massive meltdown. A new assessment of education in the U.S. shows math and reading scores falling to their lowest levels in decades in the years after the pandemic. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. A La Crosse jury couldn't reach a verdict in the triple homicide trial of Nia Thau. Judge Elliot Levine declared a mistrial after the 12-person jury deadlocked. The trial lasted 7 days. Thau is one of two men accused of shooting and killing three people in a quarry in July 2021 east of Holman. La Crosse County DA Tim Greinke said they will retry the case. The other man charged with the three murders, Cam Ratanasek, is due in court in July. Both men are being held on a $1 million cash bond at the La Crosse County Jail. Wildfire danger remains high for northwestern and southwestern Wisconsin today. The DNR said that this year's fire season is outpacing last year so far, thanks in part to the ongoing drought. The DNR said Tuesday that air quality will also be a concern due to ozone production. They already issued an air quality advisory yesterday for all of western Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says conditions will stay hot and dry for at least a few more days. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
From gas to groceries, Wisconsinites are feeling it. Higher prices are making it tough to pay your bills. So why are some in Washington pushing a new, costly mandate that'll make things harder for Wisconsin consumers? It'll mean the credit card rewards you enjoy will go away. That's right, earning cash back, points, or miles all could vanish. Washington bureaucrats think they know better. Consumers and Main Street will lose big. That's why we need Representative Tom Tiffany to step up and help stop this harmful new mandate. Please call Representative Tiffany at 202-225-3365. Urge Representative Tiffany to stand with consumers. Paid for by American Bankers Association, ABA.com.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. It's the Beatles doing She Said, She Said, a song recorded on this date back in 1966. A song evidently inspired by an LSD trip, as were some of the other Beatles songs, as a matter of fact. And we got 8:34 right now. Stu Daniels here talking about the news of the day and what's going on. Hope your day is going well so far. Yesterday was the day that Governor Tony Evers signed the Shared Revenue and School Choice Voucher funding legislation. I have a story here from the Wisconsin Examiner talking about how things ended up after the smoke cleared and the dust settled. says Democratic Governor Tony Evers. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner. It says Democratic Governor Tony Evers signed legislation yesterday, Tuesday, that increases local government funding, provides Milwaukee with a path to address its funding crisis, and requires several controversial policy changes for local governments across the state. Evers also signed another bill that was negotiated alongside the local government funding bill, increasing school districts' revenue limits and boosting state aid to independent charter and private voucher schools. That's right, your tax dollars going to fund private schools and charter schools. Evers said the shared revenue issue is one that he began working on when he first took office in 2019. Quote, "That effort began for me with a simple truth, that for far too long, our local communities have been forced to do more with less," Evers said at a signing ceremony in Wausau yesterday. He went on and said, "We've seen the consequences of that in action play out in communities across Wisconsin, especially in recent years. Local partners in every corner of the state have been forced to make impossible decisions about what essential services to fund, having to choose between paying for first responders, addressing PFAS and chemicals, fixing the roads, and other critical priorities that affect the health, safety, and well-being of Wisconsinites everywhere," end quote. Evers signed the shared revenue bill, which will dedicate 20% of the state's sales tax to local government funding, while surrounded by a bipartisan group of state lawmakers, including Senator Mary Felskowski, Republican from Irma, and Senator LaTanya Johnson, Democrat from Milwaukee, and local officials from across the state. Evers went on with another quote. He said, "I believe the state should be doing its part to support our local partners, and our local community. Our local communities should have the resources they need to make sure those basic and unique needs are done. And I've also believed that supporting our local communities is an area where we could work to find common ground and bipartisan support. Well, folks, I was right," end quote. The bill will provide an additional $274.9 million. You could kind of round that off and say $275 million, right? To counties and municipalities that can be spent on costs related to law enforcement, fire protection, emergency medical services, emergency response communications, public works, and transportation. And I would argue that all of those are very important things to any community. The Wisconsin Counties Association and the League of Wisconsin Municipalities celebrated the historic legislation, praising the bipartisan efforts and saying the new funding would position the state for future prosperity. Here's a quote from the County Association's chief executive, Mark O'Donnell. He said, "Working alongside our state leaders, this new law creates a sustainable funding source for local governments and more closely aligns incentives for governments, I should say for government, to promote a vibrant and flourishing economy. Under this momentous agreement, local governments will see an increase in shared revenue payments linked to our state's economy, creating the resources to provide the vital services our citizens need," end quote. The legislation also creates an innovation grant program meant to encourage counties and municipalities to consolidate services. You know, when I first moved to Wisconsin, back in the late 1980s, Wisconsin had a reputation as being a high tax state, but it also had a reputation as having great public services. The word on the street was, well, you pay a little bit more in taxes if you move to Wisconsin, but you're going to get great services, public services. And I think that was the case then, but it seems like over the decades, like many places where Republicans have control, they want to shrink the government down to nothing. And of course, that's when the services go away. And oftentimes, the tax cuts that Republicans promote are mainly for people who really don't need tax cuts at the higher end of the income spectrum. I'll go on with the story from the Wisconsin Examiner. It says the signing yesterday with Governor Evers happened more than 3 hours away from Milwaukee, the state's most populous city, which was also a major point of contention throughout the negotiation process. Evers spokeswoman Britt Cuddebeck and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley's spokesman Brandon Weathersby both said on Twitter that he chose to sign the bill in Wausau because the legislation affects every Wisconsin community, not just Milwaukee. The legislation gives Milwaukee and Milwaukee County the ability to enact, if two-thirds of their governing bodies approve, an additional 2% sales tax in Milwaukee and a 0.4% tax in Milwaukee County. The additional revenue can be used to pay for unfunded pension obligations and public safety costs, but comes with strings attached. Crowley and Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson also joined Evers in Wausau for the signing. Here's a quote from Crowley, Milwaukee County. He says, for Milwaukee County, this brings us closer to avoiding a devastating fiscal cliff and continue critical service our residents rely on each day. As deliberations on the sole issue of additional revenue turn to local legislative bodies, it's important that Milwaukee County, as an arm of the state, acknowledge the fiscal realities that we must confront. Crowley said the fiscal cliff is the biggest single threat to improving the quality of life for Milwaukee County residents, and that it's important they don't miss the mark. The support from the top county and city leaders comes as other Milwaukee officials explore taking action to mitigate certain policies in the legislation. Milwaukee Common Council President Jose Perez said in a statement that it's essential that the local body work to pass the 2% sales tax as soon as possible. He also said, however, that the council will begin efforts to remove several provisions from the state statutes. Perez said the council will take up legislation separate from the sales tax that would double funding for the city's Office of Equity and Inclusion and Office of African American Affairs, set aside money for litigation to fight provisions that overstep our home rule, and direct local agencies to apply for a federal grant to extend the streetcar. And it seems to me that's one thing that Republicans have always argued for, you know, local control. I'll go on with the story from the Examiner. It says the state law signed by Evers includes language that prohibits the city from using money from levying taxes on developing, operating, or maintaining its streetcar, bars the city from using tax revenue on diversity, equity, and inclusion positions, requires the city to maintain the level of law enforcement and fire department staffing at least the current levels, or at least at the current levels, and requires Milwaukee Public Schools reinstate school resource officers in schools. The Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression criticized the legislation in a statement calling it, quote, the worst assault on the people's movements in Wisconsin since the victories achieved coming out of the George Floyd uprising of 2020, end quote, pointing to requirements to reintroduce police officers into MPS schools and for the city to maintain specified levels of law enforcement. The activist group said that the bill reduces people's say over policing in their communities. Quote, these bills are a direct response to policy wins over the police secured by the Milwaukee Alliance and other community organizing efforts, including the banning of chokeholds, elimination of no-knock warrants, and a policy forcing the timely public release of video footage of police crimes, the group stated. Senator Chris Larson, Democrat from Milwaukee, who voted against the bill, pointed out that it requires Milwaukee to hire an additional 165 police officers beyond its current number. He said, quote, if they can't find qualified candidates, the city risks losing 15% of its shared revenue for the next year. This is not progress. Larson said on Twitter, Tuesday morning, yesterday. Evers also signed SB 330, which will increase payments to Wisconsin's private choice and independent charter schools, and raise revenue limits for school districts on Tuesday. The bill was negotiated alongside the shared revenue deal. The bill would raise the cap on the minimum amount of revenue school districts are allowed to collect from state aid and local taxpayers to $11,000 per student from $10,000. Okay, so it was $10,000 before. Now they're going to increase it to $11,000. It'll also increase per pupil aid payments for private voucher and independent charter schools. The bill would increase the per pupil payments for private voucher and independent charter schools. According to a legislative fiscal bureau memo, under the bill, the aid for private school choice K through 8 students would increase from $8,300 in the current year to $9,874 next year, next school year. Going to take a break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Have a badge, but we have faith in his killer instinct. Celebrate the 10th anniversary of famed detective priest Father Brown. Stream the new season now only on BritBox.
That sounds like a marvelous plan.
Plus, watch even more unofficial detectives in much loved series, including Agatha Christie's Marple, Murder in Provence, and more. Expect intriguing mystery. Expect the Undetectives. Start streaming today at BritBox.com.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO.
That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour.
This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs around 89 today, under mainly sunny skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows around 65. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow, highs around 89. Temperatures a bit above average Friday and Saturday, with highs for the mid-80s to the upper 80s. Storms possible both days. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 72.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I think I'm going back to the days when I was young enough to know the truth. I think I'm gonna turn to the thing.
Back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8:51 right now on this Wednesday morning, listening to music from Nils Lofgren, one of his solo pieces. I think that song was written by Carole King, too, if I remember correctly, but he is celebrating a birthday today. Nils Lofgren, who is probably best known these days as a member of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, but has also been a part of Neil Young's bands over the years, over the decades. And I think he started playing with Neil when he was in his teens, maybe 18 or 19 back in the day. But also doing his own solo work, like we just heard there, celebrating a birthday today, born on this date in 1951. Hey, one of the things I wanted to get to today was this story from Rolling Stone about Trump's interview on Monday. I'm sure by now you've probably seen at least a portion of the interview that Trump did with Bret Baier on Fox News. Most people are saying it was a disaster, that he incriminated himself, and that parts of that interview can be used in court against him. Well, what do you think he thought of the interview? What did Trump think of that interview? Well, according to this headline in Rolling Stone, Trump thinks he did a great job in disaster Fox News interview. Subheadline says, meanwhile, some of the ex-president's current and former legal advisors were watching in terror, sources tell Rolling Stone. Donald Trump thought he crushed his Fox News interview. The rest of the world thinks he bumbled it miserably. In the hours after his interview with Bret Baier aired on Monday, Trump privately boasted about how well he thought he performed as he asked others if they had caught the interview and what they thought of it. The former president and 2024 Republican frontrunner said the tension and parrying with Baier made him look tough, creating buzzy, attention-grabbing television. Two sources with knowledge of the situation tell Rolling Stone, during the televised sit-down, Trump arguably confessed to intentionally withholding classified government documents in his post-presidency. This Fox appearance comes the week after his arrest and arraignment in the federal investigation into his hoarding of highly classified material and possible obstruction. Where Trump saw buzz, people hoping to keep him out of legal jeopardy saw trouble. Several of the ex-president's current and former legal advisors watched on with exasperated sighs and in some cases terror, according to three people familiar with the matter. One lawyer working in Trump's orbit messaged Rolling Stone shortly after the interview first aired, predicting the Fox clip would be brought up by prosecutors at trial. Quote, "It was a disaster if you are his lawyer," says Ty Cobb, a former top Trump White House lawyer during a different special counsel probe. He went on and said, "And they'll have more of those because they won't be able to keep him quiet. Trump gave the government an enormous gift in that Fox interview, and they will be able to use what he said to assist them in proving the former president's intent as to virtually all the charges in the Mar-a-Lago indictment," end quote. During the Bayer interview, the Fox host asked the now twice indicted former president, "Why not just hand them over then?" Trump responded, "Because I had the boxes. I want to go through the boxes and get all my personal things out. I don't want to hand that over to NARA yet." That's the archives organization. "And I was very busy, as you've sort of seen. I've been very, very busy. So before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things. Golf shirts, clothing, pants, shoes. There were many things," end quote. As many experienced onlooking lawyers, including some who have directly advised Trump, have pointed out, this is not an adequate legal defense in a criminal trial. However, many of the former president's personal attorneys and senior aides have long since resigned themselves to the fact that Trump is generally not going to heed their warnings about keeping his mouth shut in public. This is true even over the course of a high-stakes special counsel and Espionage Act investigation, and even when legal experts argue that Trump is further incriminating himself willingly. Just won't keep his mouth shut. 8:57 right now. Stick around. You're tuned into your Civic Media radio station.
Achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners?
Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.